And for the rest of you, we're going to be looking at a couple of verses of Scripture, and I'm just going to speak very briefly, then we're going to go to the water baptism, and then we're going to, I'll speak a little bit more at the end probably, as we're waiting for them to come back and get themselves all put back together and dried off and with new clothes, probably not those wet ones, so that'll be nice. But anyway, praise the Lord. You know, I love water baptism because it speaks to us about new life, and it speaks to us about the change that has happened within us. And that change happened because someone shared the gospel with us. And I might say something about that in a minute. But this month, we're starting a new series. It's called Sweet and Salty. And you might wonder, well, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about, you know, the dark chocolate with the salt on it. No, that's not what we're talking about. Because dark chocolate's not sweet enough. Maybe it's the milk chocolate. But anyway, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. Proverbs 16, verse 24, and then Colossians 4, verse 6. And this is what the writer of the Proverbs had to say. In Proverbs 16, 24, we read, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the whole body. And then Colossians 4, verse 6 says, he says, "Let your speech always be gracious." Why? Because gracious words are like a honeycomb. So let your words always be gracious. And then he says, "Seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Let your speech always be gracious, full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you, and we want to praise you for your faithfulness, Lord, for your word, and Lord, for your teaching. Lord, we sang this morning, "Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true." Lord, we want you to speak truth to us. And we ask you to help us to speak truth to one another as well, God. And so, Lord, help us in this area with our words, Lord. And we commit ourselves to you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you were first saved, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 says this. It says, For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, where did that faith come from? Well, Romans 10, 17 tells us that faith comes by hearing. Hearing the message of Christ. And then Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us one of the things that our baptism candidates are going to do today. It says, because if you confess with your mouth, so we're going to be confessing with our mouth today, gracious words seasoned with salt, that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. But when we say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and it's by grace that you've been saved, well, how do we hear? Well, Paul says before that in Romans 10 that how will they hear unless there's a preacher? And how will they preach unless they sent? So the preacher goes forth, and we speak these gracious words into people's lives, and their lives are changed. They're new. That's really what a picture of baptism is all about. I was listening to the radio this morning on my way into the church, and I put on Word FM as I'm driving in, and I was listening to these preachers. They were in dialogue with one another, and they were talking about hearing God. How many of you struggle with that, with hearing God? Maybe asking yourself the question, do I hear God? Does God speak to me? And I want you to know that God speaks to you. And one of the preachers, he says, he gave a little illustration that years ago in his past, he said he took his daughter out for a lunch or a dinner. I don't know what it was. I can't remember exactly the story. But he took his daughter out. And his daughter said to him, "Dad, you know, when you're preaching, I always hear you say that God spoke to you, or that God speaks to you, or that this is what the Lord said. But, Dad, you know, God doesn't speak to me. I don't hear God. How come I don't hear God? How come God doesn't speak to me?" So he paused for a moment, and he thought, and he said, "Honey, remember that story you told me last week about the girl, the new girl that came to your school?" She goes, "Yeah." "Do you remember how you told me that no one was talking to her, and that she had no friends? Now you just felt that you had to go and talk to this girl and befriend her." She said, "Yeah, I remember." "Who told you to go talk to her?" God speaks to us. And here's this man. He was speaking gracious words, and they were like a honeycomb. They were sweetness to her soul and healing to her body. And she just realized. It opened her eyes to know God speaks to me. And then it also showed her that she was doing the same thing, that she was using words that were sweetness to someone else's soul and health to their body, because there was this one that was feeling all alone. You know, and the things that we say are so important. Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And what we want to do is we want to train ourselves to speak life into people and not death into people. Somebody took time with each one of these up here, and life came to them. They were given gracious words, and it was like a honeycomb, sweetness to their soul and health to their body. And that's how we want to be. You know, that's a picture of a change. You know, that's what baptism talks about. The word baptizo, which is the Greek word for baptize, it means to dip or to immerse. And so it pictures baptism in two ways. It pictures, first of all, we baptize by total immersion. In our baptism class, I told everyone, that the candidates, that we don't really believe in baptizing babies, because, first of all, they're not old enough to understand what's going on. You have to have understanding. And then also because we do by total immersion, because that really is the picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ when you come up out of the water. But there's something else that happens. When the word in Greek was used of dying garments. And so when you dye a garment, first of all, if you're going to dye a white garment, a color, blue, you can't just put half the garment in, can you? You have to put the whole garment in there. You have to dye it. So the whole garment has to be covered if you're going to dye it. So it has to be totally immersed. But then the other thing happens is that garment is totally changed. It's not the same as it was when it went down in as it was when it came out. And water baptism is a picture of something that's happened to us. You know, we're not the same now as we were when we went down into death with Jesus and when we were raised with him. You know, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, that we were buried with him through death in his baptism, but we were raised with him also. And we will be seated with him in heavenly places. See, we're not the same person. We've been changed. And that's really, you know, the power of these words, you know, that have a life and death, they have a power to change somebody. You know, the things that we speak, fathers, you know, the things that we say to our children have the power to either bring them up to the Lord or have power to tear them down. The things that, husbands and wives, the things that we say to one another, are they gracious words like a honeycomb? Are they seasoned with salt? That's how we want our speech to be. That's how, you know, we want it to be sweet and salty at the same time. And so we're going to continue on that series throughout the rest of this month. I just wanted to just give you a taste, a sweet and salty. And then we're going to go on from there. But right now, today is about another thing. Today's about water baptism. And so I'm going to take off this microphone, and I'm going to have our first candidate come up who's not afraid at all. Right, Abby? Let's give a warm welcome for Abigail Martin right now as she comes up.
Being that I've been raised in the Christian church my whole life, I can't think of a time when I didn't know Christ. I have believed in him, trusted him, and surrendered to him ever since I could talk. I remember when I was at the age when scribbling was artwork, I made him a drawing signed "To God" from Abby, and I held it up in the air hoping he would enjoy it, which I'm sure he did. So I am very excited to show my dedication to my religion through water baptism.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to ask the worship team. Yeah. Oh, you know what? I forget the video.
All right, so how
I missed a lot of things today, but that's okay.
And you're going to step all the way down.
How do you feel? Is it nice and warm?
Yeah.
Nice. It's nice and warm. Okay, I have three questions for you, Abby.
Okay.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus is God, that he died, that he was crucified, died, and was buried, and that he rose again on the third day?
Yes.
And do you desire to live for him all the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay.
And therefore, based on your confession of faith, I'm now baptizing you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
So I'm going to keep this short and sweet. As a teenager, many new paths in my life are making themselves available to me. The one path that I've followed, or at least tried very hard to always follow, is my faith. I'm excited today to proudly proclaim my relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I cannot wait to continue walking by my faith.
Nice and warm in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Madison, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you believe that Jesus is God, that he became a man and was crucified, died, and was buried and raised on the third day? And you desire to live for him all the rest of your life? Okay.
Based on your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I've always had faith. I feel like I've always believed, but when my sister passed about a year ago, it just made me realize my mortality, and I asked myself questions about, you know, how I'm living my life, and is it right, and am I happy with it, and I didn't like my answers. And I met someone whose faith was a lot stronger than mine, and he started asking me questions and things that I hadn't thought about in a long time. And I kept wondering, why are we having this kind of conversation we just met? And then I realized that it was God showing me, changing my view, showing me where I'm supposed to be, and that brought me here today, and this is why I'm here. And thank you very much.
Shantae, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? And you believe that He is God, that He became a man, was crucified, died, was buried, and rose on the third day. And you desire to live for Him all the rest of your life? Okay.
And based on your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everybody. I'm here today to further and better my relationship with God. I've always known Him, and I've always followed Him, at least most of my life. And whenever I was young, I seen that my mom lived and breathed God in everything that she did. And she did everything in her power to impress that upon her boys. And I did pretty good up until one day when I started questioning everything and anything I was taught and believed. And then tragedy struck when my younger brother was killed in a dirt bike accident at age 21. I was 23 at the time. My mother and older brother stayed strong with their faith in God. I did not. Then 7 years later, tragedy struck again with my mother's passing. One of her dying wishes was for me to come back to God. And I did pretty much exactly the opposite. Not a year after my mother died, my father had passed. Soon after he passed, I found myself in one of the darkest places of my life. And then just as fast as things turned bad, they turned good. I met my wife. She showed me the doorway, I met my wife. God showed me the doorway back to Him, and I finally walked through it. Mm-hmm. She got me to go to church, and there I felt and saw things that I've never before seen at church. Everyone happy and overflowing with joy and a feeling of unconditional love. And I found myself a little jealous because I wanted to feel that way. And now I feel God's love and see Him working everywhere in my life. And I'd like to thank God for giving me my wife and kids and ultimately bringing me back to Him. Because without them and Him, I don't know where I'd be, but I do know that I would not be here talking to you and getting baptized. Oh, hold on. Also, I want to thank my amazing wife. She is an inspiration, and I look forward to serving God for the rest of my life with you by my side. Thank you.
Jeremy. All right. Praise the Lord. God does miracles, doesn't he? And he loves us so much. Rich, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus is God, that he became a man, was crucified, died, buried, and raised on the third day?
Yes.
And you desire to serve him all the rest of your life?
Absolutely.
Amen.
I've always believed in God, but I was always nervous about going to church until my friend Matt got me to go. And the thing that resonates with me the most is how Jesus' strength, how he bared the cross and conquered death.
Yes.
And died for us all. And when you put Jesus in the center of your life, he will melt away all your worries, doubts, and fears. No problem is too large. He is always in control. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Wesley, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And you believe that Jesus is God, that he became a man, was crucified, died, and was buried and raised on the third day?
Yes.
And you desire to live for him all the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay.
Wes, based on your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
First, I want to say how I got to know Jesus. At first, I was no one. I would do anything that did not involve Jesus as well. Then someone named Gloria introduced me to him. So, I made a prayer I would like to say before I get baptized, here it goes. Please, Lord, bless me while I'm doing this, and bless Gloria for wherever she is, for doing what she did, and what I hope that will last forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. William, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life?
Yes.
And you believe that he's God and that he was crucified, died, and was buried and raised on the third day?
Yes.
And you desire to serve him all the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, we have two of them back. We have three of them back. Here we go. I'm just going to share a few more thoughts with you while we're waiting for our candidates to come back. But as I was thinking of these verses that we spoke of this morning, first of all, again, Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But then also, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person. And this is how the Lord wants us to speak to one another and in our dealings with one another. He wants us to be this way. You know, again, as Proverbs 18 said, you know, the tongue has the power of life and death. And salt, there are several things we're probably going to be looking at in the next couple of weeks about salt. It preserves. And we can do that with our speech with one another. We can be preservers rather than people that bring corruption or decay. It purifies and it softens. That's what salt does. It also melts hard ice. And our words can be used to melt a hard heart rather than harden a heart. That's what we desire. I can't read. Salt heals. I can almost read. It prevents infection. And that's, you know, one of my favorite things to do, and I'm sure it's one of your favorite things to do, is when I get a sore, especially in my mouth, I love to put salt right on it. Seriously, I do. It really... it heals. But we also know that too much salt can spoil the soup. And so we're going to be talking about things like that. But when we talk about gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body, it reminded me of a portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel. And I just like to read that to you. And this is what our words can be like in one another's lives. And in 1 Samuel 14, verse 24, we read, "And the men of Israel had been hard-pressed that day." They were in war with the Philistines. Jonathan had gone off and started the battle all on his own without telling anybody. And there was a great victory that was won that day against the Philistines. But this is toward the end of it. It says, and the men of Israel had been hard-pressed that day. So Saul had laid an oath on the people, saying, "Cursed be the man who eats food until it is evening, and I'm avenged on my enemies." So none of the people had tasted food. So they went this whole day in battle without any food. And it says, "Now when all the people came to the forest, behold, there was honey on the ground. And when the people entered the forest, behold, the honey was dropping. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan," remember, he had started the battle without telling anybody, "Jonathan had not heard his father charge the people with the oath. So he put out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes became bright." His eyes brightened. "Then one of the people said, 'Your father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man who eats food this day.' And the people were faint. Then Jonathan said, 'My father has troubled the land. See how my eyes have become bright because I tasted a little of this honey? How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies that they had found. For now the defeat among the Philistines has not been that great.'" And you know what? Oftentimes throughout Scripture, the Lord always uses physical things to speak to us about spiritual things, doesn't he? He said to the woman at the well, if you knew who it was who was talking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He was at a well. He said, "You have no bucket to draw with and the well is deep. Where will you get this living water?" And he said, the water I give you is a spring of life that will well up into eternal life. But Jesus wasn't really talking about water, was he? It was an analogy. And this analogy of the honeycomb is very strong too. You know, Jesus went on and told his disciples when they came back, he said, "Here, have some food." He said, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." And this, where he says, gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. When we speak this way into one another's lives, we're doing exactly to that person's soul and body as happened to Jonathan when he took a little of that honey from the honeycomb. What happened to Jonathan when he took a little of that honey from the honeycomb? He says, "See how my eyes brightened?" It says that the people were faint that day. They were exhausted. They had no strength. But the honeycomb, the little honey that Jonathan tasted, turned it all around. Not only did it brighten his eyes, it brought strength to his body. And I think that that's what I want to be for you. And that's what I want you to be for me. Gracious words. That was what I was alluding back to when I talked about salvation as being a complete change in our lives. That it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And we talked about how that came through the message. I love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, because our gospel came to you not only in word. So he's not saying it didn't come in words, did he? He's saying it came in words. The gospel has to come to us in words. You have to hear the gospel. How can they hear unless there's a preacher? And how can they preach unless he's sent? He says, how beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. You see, the gospel comes to every one of us in words. We all heard the words of Christ, didn't we? But it doesn't come only with words. It comes with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. When it's gracious words, when it's truly words from God, it comes with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And those are the kinds of words that can change them, that can brighten their eyes. Those are the kinds of words that can bring health to your body as well. And this is the kind of people that God wants us to be. He wants us to be people that are building one another up, because gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. And then he says, and let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, and there's something else. There's a verse that I love. You know, how many times have I blown it when I should have been speaking gracious words and I spoke something else instead? How many times, you know, I give this example. Sorry, Jill, you don't mind me. I give this example in our pre-marriage classes a lot. I talk about once when my son was a little boy, Joel. And I'm pretty honest with them in these classes, and I tell them that, you know, one of the things I had to work on a lot when Suzanne and I got married, even Suzanne can testify, how I would say stinging things. I would attack with my words. If I got mad at Suzanne, I would use words. They weren't gracious words. And I remember one time, this was so vivid to me, I think Joel was maybe 7 or 8 years old. He did something wrong. And big mature Pastor Mike called his son a Nimrod. It's a true story. And my son began to cry, almost uncontrollably. I'm a Nimrod. And that pierced my heart. Pierced my heart. Here this big man is calling his little son names. And you know what I had to do? I had to go to Joel and I had to take words with me. Put up Hosea 4:14. Look at this verse of scripture. Now, this is speaking about our relationship to God, but it's also how we have to be with one another. He said, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. And he says this, take with you words. I love this verse of scripture. Take, the King NIV says, take words with you. It's the same thing. And return to the Lord. Say to him, I love the NIV says, forgive all of our sins. Take away all our iniquity, it says in the ESV. But in the NIV says, forgive all of our sins. Take words with you, say, and say, forgive me. So I took words that day with me to Joel, and I said, forgive me. See, so sometimes maybe your words aren't like a honeycomb. Sometimes maybe they aren't seasoned with salt. Sometimes maybe you said the wrong thing to your husband or to your wife. Sometimes maybe you said the wrong thing to your son or to your daughter. Well, then what are you going to do? You're going to go to them and you're going to take words with you. And the words are no longer going to be bad words or the wrong words, but they're going to be gracious words. They're going to be seasoned with salt, and you're going to take words with you. You're going to say, you know, I was wrong. Those are some of the most powerful Christian words we can say. I was wrong. Please forgive me. And then we go on. And you know, it took me a while to overcome that. I can honestly say to you, I am nothing at all like that. And I was a pastor at the time when this happened. But I am nothing, you know, see, we're always growing, aren't we? We're always growing. And I had to with my will, choose not to say harsh things anymore when I was upset with my wife or when I was upset with my children. And I had to think before I would speak. And you want to know what? With the Spirit of God within you, you can do that. You can speak gracious words that are like a honeycomb that bring sweetness to the soul. and health. Health to the body. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe that they're all back. I've been speaking too long. Is everybody? Okay, she is here. Everyone's back. God is so good. Could you guys all just come up front again real quick? My son just reminded me, I forgot to tell you the one part, but when I saw how terribly he was crying because I called him Nimrod, I ran to my Bible, and I got the part out, you know, in Genesis where it says that he was like Nimrod, a mighty warrior before the Lord. It says, see, you're a mighty warrior. That's what I meant to say. God is so good. Do you love the Lord this morning? Let's stand to our feet, and we're going to worship the Lord with a song, Washed Over Me.